everybody, and welcome to the Savvy Girls Podcast. I am Melanie, podcasting from New York.
And I am Deborah, podcasting from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
We have a very interesting show today. We have... what do we have?
We're playing an interview that I did at the Malabrigo Factory. Another interview.
Because it is...
Malabrigo March!
It is Malabrigo March, whatever that is. So, we have a Malabrigo interview. We have
some guest performers on the show.
We do. And we have our finalists and our winners of the Confessions Contest.
Indeed. We also have some chit-chatting about...
everything!
As usual, we have lots planned. And rather than talking about it, let's just go ahead and get into it.
And here we go.
It's just not every day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right.
So, Mel, what have you been up to?
Oh, I've had the most exciting week. We're 1 week since the last podcast and 1 week until this podcast comes out. So this is sort of our midweek check-in. The other day, I went and I bought 3 pairs of shoes.
Oh my goodness. Where did you go shoe shopping?
My roommate's friend was in town and he wanted to go see the outlets. And really, in New York, you don't need to go to outlets. There's plenty of good shopping to be done right here in the city. But we went for a nice drive up to Woodbury, whatever it's called, the outlet place. And I think my roommate's friend spent almost $800 on things. He bought a bag, he bought shoes. It was ridiculous. But I found 3 pair of $15 shoes, and they're awesome, and I love them. And they're so cute.
What are they like?
Well, they're naturalizer shoes. They're cute. They're really cute. I really love them, and I'm excited. I'm scared to wear them in New York, because New York might eat them. Because my last pair, New York has eaten my pair of shoes I currently wear most days have basically no sole left, and there's a gaping hole from the inside down. So when you walk over all that broken glass in my neighborhood, it gets a little worrisome.
But you've been wearing those for a while.
For about a year. I started in December last year, and they have fallen apart.
Well, yeah, but that's a lot of wear.
Good point. But still, I mean, I don't know if I can get rid of them. I still really quite like them.
I know the feeling.
Also, I was hired to sing at Carnegie Hall at the end of April.
Yippee!
Yoo-hoo! For a new oratorio in the course of a new oratorio. So if anyone's in New York, come see me at Carnegie Hall. Woo!
Woo!
Also, I have a performance coming up on the 17th of March, and that is just off Broadway. It is a multimedia thing with singing and dancing and acting. I'm one of the singers. I don't dance.
I was gonna say, are you gonna be dancing? You in spandex?
No, people would be running for the doors. I may be in spandex, but I will not be dancing. And let's see what else. I was hired to sing in Middlebury, Vermont. So if anyone lives there, we should get together and hate on knitting together and tape it.
And tape it.
So,
I wonder, do we have any listeners in Vermont?
I'm sure we do. I don't know. But if we do, please come and say hello to me when I'm there. And there was one other performance thing going on. Oh, I got a callback for Summer Stock Theater. So, who knows? With a callback, you never know. But when there's something like 500 people trying out for a role and you're one of the 20 who get a callback, you know that you did a good job.
Yeah, well, it's better than not getting a callback.
Right, that 15 seconds that you sang for them really must have made an impact.
I guess so. How many of those sort of cattle call auditions do you end up doing?
I haven't done that many this year. I think I've done 3 this year or 4.
Okay.
And I ended up getting 2 of them. So the one was the Babes in Toyland and the other was this.
Well, that's pretty good given that the cattle call auditions are so ridiculously short and the odds are so...
poor.
Poor, yeah.
I mean... I know, once I went in and I waited 6 hours, and then they typecast you, which is they line you all up in a row, and they say, they line you up in a row, and they don't even look at you, they just look at your headshots. I mean, you're standing there, and it's as if you don't exist, and then they say, 1, 4, and 68 can stay, and everyone else has to go. At least we got our headshots back.
Well, yeah. Because, after how many hours? Yeah.
It was 5 or 6, cattle call auditions are a cruel thing, and I don't do them very often, but I'm glad I did this one.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I guess, I have one other piece of news, and then it's your turn.
Okay.
I'm going to Chile!
Yay! Well, not just you.
oh, my little recorder and I, so we can podcast from Chile. We're right. both going to Chile.
Well, I'm going to Chile as well.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I was the one originally going to Chile. Melanie decided she would join me in Chile. I'm going to Chile for 2 weeks of work. And Melanie decided that we looked into flights and they worked out. So she decided she's going to come in and join me for the adventures. So,
yay, the Cabbage Patch Kid may come too. So we'll all be in Chile.
Excellent. We're still not sure what the conditions are there. We're not sure because it's the earthquake is fairly
recent. And there are still more earthquakes every day. There were 60 little earthquakes in Chile yesterday. 6-0.
For me, there's work to be done. And then after hours, we don't really know what to expect. But whatever it is that's going on there, it should make for an interesting life experience.
And we are hoping to do a trip up north where there has been no earthquake damage and it's just all adventure.
That's right. Apparently, we're depending on the timing and such.
Adventure.
We are looking at traveling north to an area where...
Oh, where there's pink flamingos! Pink flamingos!
But the part that has excited me the most are the free-running alpaca.
On the Antiplanos.
I just have this thing for alpaca. I think they're so cute. They're cartoon-like.
They are. They're like My Little Ponies that you can make sweaters out of.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure that I won't be able to get yarn off of the free-running alpacas.
It depends how fast you can run after the free-running alpacas.
That's very true. That's true. And I suppose I wouldn't actually get yarn off of them. I'd probably get, you know, fiber. I don't think they're yarn producing animals.
And possibly a disease too.
Well, yeah, you never know. Anyways, the whole thing is kind of exciting, and given how soon it's happening, we're gonna have to start making plans. But
I know we're going on basically 2 days or so after the podcast comes out, we'll be on an airplane. And although it won't be 100% knitting related, there will be a lot of podcasting from Chile because I think it's going to be so interesting.
I agree. Although I know of at least one significant yarn company that's based out of Santiago, and definitely there'll be a little bit of checking out of the yarn stores and such. But given, of course, that there was this major earthquake, I'm not sure how much will be open or available for sort of regular day-to-day business activities. So I'm not sure if we'll be able to get an interview.
Hopefully nobody looted the yarn store.
Could you imagine? That would be awful.
I mean, I can imagine. I'd be running to loot some food, and you'd say, okay, gotta go.
Unattended yarn. Well, I was trying to think, if there was an earthquake where I lived, where would I go hide? And I was thinking that my yarn room would probably be... And yes, my study has now taken on the name Yarn Room, because that's all it is anymore.
Yikes.
Is a room full of yarn. I was thinking that that probably would be a nice, soft place for me to go hide.
It would. I would probably hide in my bed, because that's where I usually am.
I read something that said that it's actually better to hide beside large items than it is to hide under them, because spaces are created not under, let's say, a table, but beside the table, because the table itself will hold large pieces that fall.
So we need to look up other earthquake things, just so we know. Like, for example, I've always wondered how you deal with an elevator that goes out of control. And I mean, one day it might, and you just need to know how to deal with it.
It depends how out of control it is.
I mean, I was in one last year that free fell about a story and a half, and...
Were you really?
Yeah, no, when I was filming Kings, remember, they were in a hurry to get us to set, so they made us... They basically packed us all. They said, you know, keep going, keep filling the elevator. And we said, this elevator's pretty full. And... They didn't care. They kept shoving people in, so we bypassed the weight limit of the elevator. And we had just eaten. So we bypassed the weight limit of the elevator. It went into free fall for a story and a half. The brakes kicked in mid-floor, so it wrenched to a stop, and then they wouldn't let us out because it could start falling again, and it's between floors, so you don't want your head to get cut off.
Right.
And we were there for about an hour and a half, and it did hold up shooting in the end. And it was a great adventure. But
well, yeah, but that's terrifying.
And so at the time I thought, you know, how do you survive an elevator going out of control? Do you jump at the bottom? Well, that's magically physics.
I don't think that makes any difference, no.
Someone said you should stand on the handhold. I mean, so there's who knows? We should look up earthquake survival techniques.
I just don't know. Well, yeah, okay.
I guess the important thing is keep your knitting at home where it's safe also.
I suppose so.
But, I mean, it's going to be a really interesting adventure. And, also up north, there are villages that with non-free-roaming alpacas.
Right. So, I would be really excited to go there and maybe acquire a little bit of fiber and, you know, have non-fiber adventures as well.
Now, do you think they'd allow you back in Argentina with an entire fiber fleece in your pocket?
I think if it's been cleaned in my pocket.
In your pocket?
I think that if it's been cleaned, then I would. And especially since we're traveling, we're planning to travel at the beginning of the trip, then I would maybe have time to clean it.
In our hotel room?
Yes, I am considering cleaning an entire alpaca fleece in a hotel room.
Yikes, tip the help. Okay.
wouldn't that be surprising if they walked in and found an entire alpaca fleece drying all over the floor of the room?
What if they cleaned it up and you come back and it was gone?
Yikes! No, there would be none of that happening.
I would have to stay and guard it. My next question for you, Deborah, is, are you getting excited about going to live in Colombia?
Oh my goodness, it's so far away.
It's not that far away.
There are things that must happen before then.
Knitting things?
Yeah, and travel things and life things and whatnot.
Who knows what your house will be like? It might have a pool, or it might be an apartment building.
I think it's going to be an apartment in the city.
The apartment might have a pool.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, but I don't think it's that hot there.
Trampoline?
No trampoline.
No trampoline?
I don't think so.
Deborah had a trampoline when she was living in South Africa, and I never got to use it. I just have to put that out there.
I purchased a trampoline. It was like $200, and I had it for 2 years, and I used it for exercise, and I thought that, you know, that it was a decent investment. But I found out that as an adult woman, it's not as easy to jump as it was a child. There are certain things that bounce a lot more than they did when I was younger. So it actually was a lot more uncomfortable.
Oh.
And it made me have to pee. Every time I went on it, the first, 3 minutes, I'd have to get off.
Well, it was your own trampoline. I guess you could have just let fly.
No! But it was the bouncingness that turned out to be not as comfortable as I thought it would be.
Oh, sad.
List of my yarns that we crave. When I bite almost always appreciate good grammar.
Coming up next on the show is an interview that I did with Mariana, one of the management staff members with the company Malabrigo, and I did this interview in January 2010. I went to the Malabrigo once, I can't remember exactly when, but it must have been about 8 months ago, and I did an interview with Antonio, who is one of the three co-owners of the company. If you listen to our episodes for a while, then you've probably already heard that interview, and I think that I spent quite a bit of time and energy putting together a description of my visit, and if you're interested in knowing how it feels to visit the factory and what it looks like exactly, then I would highly encourage you to go back and check out that episode. I think we will put a link in our show notes to find that episode, but it is one of the 20-some that we've already produced. This visit was a bit of an interesting trip, partly because I had already been through the tour and I already understood generally, or at least as much as a layperson can understand factory procedures, but also because I knew exactly where the yarn was that I was to admire and later purchase, and my energies were mostly focused on snapping pictures, making contacts, and then of course admiring the beautiful yarn. And I'm going to see if I can find... The thing is that I'm interrupting myself here, but the factory itself is rather dark on the inside, so it's hard to get pictures that really capture the colors and the textures there, but I think I got a couple of me rolling about in piles and piles of Malabrigo, so I'll see if I can pull those up and put them on our website, and hopefully the quality will be good enough. So during my visit, I did more than a little bit of drooling over yarn. I truly enjoyed seeing some of the familiar faces with people working at the factory, and I have to say that I bought a little bit of yarn. Please, please enjoy this interview. Thank you to Malabrigo again for hosting me and for putting up with my excitement. And I hope you all enjoy this interview. Okay, I am here with Mariana. This is Deborah with the Savvy Girls Podcast. And I'm here with Mariana, who is the do everything, be everything with Malabrigo. Can you explain to us a little bit of what is your job?
Here at Malabrigo, I found out colors. I control mostly everything.
Okay, you have a chemistry background, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so are you involved in the chemical, the color mixing and the chemical, the dye baths?
Yes,
and that
kind of that's my base.
Okay.
And then from there, I do mostly everything.
And management stuff as well?
Yes, a little bit,
okay.
Yes.
And so how did you get into this job?
From a newspaper, from the newspaper.
And they were advertising?
Yes, so it was an advertise, and I get some interviews. And when I first came here, I was only at the lab.
Okay.
Making quality control, some colors. And then I grow up.
How long have you been here?
For about 2 years.
Okay.
And about 1 year, I've been doing
the everything.
Yes.
Well, it sounds to me that you're a bit of a general manager. But I don't know if that's the right term.
I don't know.
That you're like, or the operations manager.
Yes.
Where?
Always with the background. Always with Antonio and Marco's background. Yes, I do.
Right.
I took some decisions, but I always ask them.
Okay, but you do the day-to-day managing
stuff. Yes, I do.
Wonderful. 2 years is a long time in a small business. So what changes have you seen in the company since the time you've started working here?
We are growing. We are growing up.
In what ways? What kind of, like, in terms of size, production?
Yes, production, new colors. Okay. Every day. We are trying every day new colors. And
okay.
You do a try and you have another color. It's very good. So it's growing up every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
And also in terms of, have you always been in this building?
No, at the first time, I wasn't with the company at the first year, they
okay.
were in another place, and then they moved here when they started growing up.
Okay.
And we have a lot of projects.
So can you talk about some of the projects? Well, obviously you brought in Twist.
Yes.
How was Twist going?
Twist is going very well. When it was on the market, we were very hard because we couldn't...
You couldn't keep up with the demand?
No, we couldn't.
Oh,
but now we are okay.
Okay.
And now we are looking forward to new rules, to introduce them in June.
Okay.
But
can you say anything about those?
No. It's very nice. You've seen that.
I saw it. I promise all of our listeners that it's beautiful and it's soft and it's exactly what you would expect from Malabrigo.
I do like it.
It's beautiful.
Personally, I
was lucky enough to see a number of large swatches out of it in I don't know how many different colors, in 10
there
or 12
are 16.
Sixteen different colors.
Yes.
And every single one of them is beautiful.
They will be in June.
Yeah, so something to look forward to in June. Okay, can we talk about Twist a little bit more?
Yes.
Had, last time I was here, Antonio was kind enough to give me a skein of Twist.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I got it, I worked it up and I made myself a hat. I made my mom a hat, actually. And I loved working with it.
Yes.
What is some of the feedback that other people are giving you about
it? They love Twist.
How does it work differently than, let's say, the Merino worsted?
It's more softly than Merino.
It's softer.
It's softer. It's more softer.
Why is that?
Because it's a different wool. We have some kind, different kinds of wool, and it's a softer one.
Okay, so you're actually using a softer wool.
Yes.
Now, something that I have heard, and in fact, Antonio talked about this last time I was here, is the pros and cons with going with the softest wool, which is that it feels really wonderful, but sometimes it pills.
Yes, yes.
For example, let's pick the Merino worsted or the Twist. What would be appropriate projects for something that soft?
I do like sweaters, but you can do any projects.
Do you knit?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes,
oh, what are you working on?
No, I'm not working on anything, but I don't have it much time, but...
Okay. But you have knit sweaters out of it?
Yes.
And it wears well?
Yes, they work well. We know that Merino has a lot of peeling, and every time we have a new wool, we do the test of the peeling. But
and
I really like
some people shave the peeling. Sometimes some people will...
Yes, they do.
Does that make a difference?
If you shave one time, you will have to shave
again
every time. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's just something that people have to. If you want it to feel wonderful, then it's going to have a little haze around it.
Yes. And,
okay.
But I think Twist have less peeling than Merino.
Probably because it's applied yarn.
Yes.
What is your most common yarn actually? Which one do you sell the most of?
No, it's Merino.
The Merino.
The Merino.
Worsted.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the sock. Or
yes, then the sock and then Twist. That is
okay. What are some of the lesser known? Most people know about your Merino worsted and the Twist and the
twist
sock
and the sock and the lace
and the lace weight.
Yes, and silky merino
and
too.
Silky merino. But there are other ones also.
Yes, there is chunky,
which is a thick thin.
Yes, I think no chunky is a term.
It's applied yarn, okay.
Yes, and then we have...
Which is bulky weight?
Yes, it's bulky.
Okay.
And then we have thick and thin, the bulky.
And then that one's called bulky.
Yes.
And what do you recommend to make with thick, thin yarns?
A long jacket. I do like
it has nice texture.
Yes, yes.
And since it's so thick, it would knit quickly.
The new one is wonderful.
Yeah. Have you knit a full jacket out of it?
No, I didn't yet, but I do want one.
That would be beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are working every day on new colors and new ideas, and sometimes we see photos or anything, and from there we get a new color, and that's developing everything.
Now, sometimes I know that Antonio and Tobias sometimes travel to festivals.
Yes.
In the United States. Where have they been?
He is traveling now.
Who is? Is it Tobias who's traveling?
Tobias and Antonio.
They're both, okay.
They are both. Wait a minute, but I don't know.
Yes,
Tien and I.
They told me in an email.
Yes,
so.
They're
traveling
flying today.
Tonight?
I think today or tonight. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And how much do they travel with? Did they bring big boxes full of yarn or?
Yes. Sometimes we prepare everything in a box. And he's taking the new one.
Oh, is he?
TNNA. Yes.
Oh, so people there get to buy it.
Yes, they will get. It's called, I won't tell you only the name, it's called Rasta.
Ooh, and that gives a little bit away.
Yes,
that it's,
yes.
It's a little bit...
And the colors are wonderful. You've
seen. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, the colors are basically the same as the... You have the India Sita.
Yes, yes. Some of them, and some are new.
Some are new. Okay. They've been to other festivals. Did they go to the Maryland Sheep and Wool, or...?
I don't know.
There was another one that I think they went to.
Yes, they went to another one in December, but I don't remember what...
I don't know.
And do they, what normally happens when they're there? Do they sell everything or?
No, mostly promotion and they talk to people.
Okay.
They're with all the fans,
Well, I think it is a bit surprising to see somebody from so far away.
Yes, yes.
And it's almost...
And you know, person to person, the people that dyes your wool and...
Yeah, yeah. It's special, nice. Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Well, it's been a pleasure talking
okay,
to you.
Okay, me too.
I'm sure I'll...
This is your second time
It's
here.
My second yes, time now, here, and it's now, it's my...
You're home. From the family, you can.
Yeah, I like that. Yes. I want to hey, be part I'm of coming. Your family. Yes. Well, and if any of you make it to Buenos Aires, just give me
okay.
a call, and we'll go hang out.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this is wonderful talking to you. Thank
okay.
you so much, and thank
You're
you
welcome.
For having me here again, and
okay, thank
and,
you.
And my friends, and... is there anything else you wanted to say? To
no, just keep knitting.
I like that. Keep knitting.
Okay, keep knitting.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Thank you to you.
February, Melanie and I have been collecting and thoroughly enjoying confessions that our listeners have been sending in. We've had some wonderful confessions, and we thought we would share some of them with you, and then afterwards we are going to announce our favorites, which are the winners of the contest, and we will be sending out prizes. I think we're going to get started. Let's just have a good laugh and share some of these confessions that people have sent in. How about, I've been scared to update my Facebook status for the past day or so because the only ideas I can come up with are confessions thanks to this thread.
I was raised Jewish and I feel a little guilty about how much I adore Secret Santa Week at work. But then I realized that it's because it actually feels like Hanukkah, because people spend all week putting little surprise gifts on other people's desks, and by Friday you have tons of candy and sparklies and goodies.
I sometimes knit with acrylic. And like it.
I saved my kitty's first teeth that she lost.
I saved my puppy's first teeth.
You did?
Yeah.
Where are they?
They're her baby teeth. They're in a little box.
Puppies actually lose their teeth?
They have puppy teeth. I was so happy when my dog lost her puppy teeth. Her teeth weren't as sharp, and so she stopped cutting my hands when we were playing.
Well, here's another one. I wore hiking pants to work today.
That's a good one. How about I need a haircut, but I'm too ashamed to get one because of what the stylist will think about the state of my hair.
I saved up my pennies to buy my husband a laptop for Christmas. Not because he asked for one, but so I could have the home PC for Ravelry.
I'm so tired, I just misspelled confession. Huh, figures.
There was an incident when I was a kid when I thought I had a huge gash on my leg, but it turned out to just be crepe paper.
Sometimes when certain people at my job are talking to me about what they did over the weekend and about their personal life, I pretend to listen, and I'm really thinking about yarn and what to knit next. I nod a couple times and say, oh, so they think I'm paying attention.
My youngest sister used to shop for gifts on the floor of her bedroom. I asked her what she was doing one time, and she said, looking for useful things I hate to give so-and-so for their birthday.
Good call.
House shopping's the best.
Ever since I cleaned my room and piled all my clothes in the closet, I've been spending my time coming up with Facebook statuses involving the words clothes monster, battle, and boss fight instead of actually doing my laundry.
I have 4 baby blankets in the works, and the children are 2, 1.5, 1.5, and 3 months. I started when the respective mothers were pregnant. And what am I working on now? Headbands for me. Once I was in a spelling contest in my school, and it was down to 2 of us. I missed the word education becoming the alternate. The kicker was, at that time I planned on being a teacher. The nuns were not too happy with me. Oh, and here's one for Malabrigo month. I confess that I have never knitted with Malabrigo yarn. I'm afraid if I do, because of what others have said, I wouldn't want to knit with anything else.
That could be true. Whenever the doctor takes my pulse, I have the goal of it being around 64. I specifically like that number because it's the number of stitches I usually like to cast on for socks. 68, today's number, is okay too.
I got excited about getting a standard poodle because I'd heard that some people spin with poodle hair. The kicker is that I neither groom my own dog or spin. The good news is she doesn't eat yarn. When I was in nursery school, I started asking my parents' permission to use the bathroom at home because that's what I was taught in school.
Oh dear.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. I'm in my mid-30s and I'm sort of still a reality TV junkie.
2 to 3 Saturdays a month, I stay in my pajamas and spend the day knitting.
I do that too. Today.
I do not do that. I can't read this one. It says, I ate guinea pig when I was in Peru 2 years ago. How about I just spent 2 hours of my workday playing Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story on Nintendo DS while looking up cheats online because I want to be better than my 7-year-old son. I only stopped because I wore the battery down.
That's a good one. I think that person also said that she works from home, just to clarify.
That's a relief.
Okay, I've been getting a slushie every day this week and telling people it's because it soothes my sore throat. But really, I just like slushies and I'm supposed to be watching my weight.
Confession. I keep moving the movies I want to the top of the Blockbuster queue, and when they come, I tell my husband that his choices have a very long wait. He's very tired of watching British dramas and romantic comedies, but I hate his gratuitous violence movies. Next one. Confession time. I confess, I am obsessed with planning birthday parties. No, seriously, I'm obsessed. I start planning 3 to 4 months in advance, and I always plan out some really articulate theme. Why do I bring this up, you might ask? Well, I might already be thinking up a theme for this year's party, which, yes, will be in July.
I just bought some terribly expensive yarn from Medis Dasher because she offered to sell the $4 skein I'd originally wanted for half price if I bought something else. Is that nuts or what?
I think it's nuts. How about I love conference calls because I can knit through them and actually pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
When I was little, I loved Shira, and my parents bought me the outfit with mask and sword, the whole shebang, as well as the castle. I would run around the house in full dress with my sword, yelling, Shira, Princess of Power! To this day, 22 years later, my dad still calls me his Princess of Power.
I accidentally dropped my boyfriend's watch in the toilet. I hurried and washed it, dried it, and then put it back on the counter. That's a really good confession.
In spite of the 5 to 8 inches of snow forecast for tonight, I think I might have to run out and get a milkshake.
Yeah, I loved that one also.
Okay, how's this? I just looked up the weather for my neighborhood on weather.com, and I noticed the graphic showing that it was snowing. I looked out the window, and lo and behold, it is! It's really lame that I didn't look out the window first.
I'm way more excited about the buttons that I just got for my Rev Olympics project than actually knitting it.
I'm more than a little suspicious that the whole hockey thing is a scam and pre-scripted like professional wrestling. There is no puck out on the ice. When you think you see one on those rare occasions, it's all an optical illusion created by top-down cognitive processing. They know exactly what's going to happen and are playing a big trick on the rest of us by making believe there's a little black pancake thingy they're all shoving around on the ice. I'm on to you, padded skating dudes.
When I was sick last month and was curled into a fetal position, I was mentally cabling my Isle of Skye cardigan.
I love hearing people sneeze. I get a huge kick out of it, actually. To me, each sneeze is special, like an audible fingerprint, so I get a little thrill each time I hear someone I know sneeze. However, the follow-up confession is more for me. It reads, my fiancé sneezes so loud that it often causes me a brief moment of physical pain. Sometimes I actually get angry at the sneeze, not at him. Now, I'll confess, my dad has a very loud sneeze, and I have actually turned around and yelled, what?
Melanie is very sensitive to loud noises. I have stash yarn that I know that I'll never use, but I have moved it with me cross-country.
I have a fear of bunk beds and won't let my kids have them. I think the top bunk will fall and squash the one underneath. I have never heard of this actually happening, but I still hate them.
I get all pouty when a friend or acquaintance has a baby and uses a name that I want to use for my future mythical child. Because now, if I have a kid, either I need to think of a different name or I'll seem like a copycat.
It's very true. It's very true. You have to covet those baby names and never give them away. My last one is, when I'm driving, I always try to find abbreviations for knitting terms on car registration plates. Like the other day, I saw one that said WIP and automatically thought, work in progress.
And from the same person, I stare at people a lot when I have sunglasses on and they can't see that I'm staring. Then sometimes I wonder why people are looking at me funny and I realize that I actually have my reading glasses on instead of my sunglasses and they can see me staring at them. Thank you to everybody who submitted their confessions. The confessions thread is, I don't know, 500 entries long? I don't know, it's really, really long. And one of the reasons it's so funny is because we all do these things, or we all think these things. In other people's confessions, I see things that I myself do or think.
We are ready to announce the winners
of the Confessions Contest. This has been such a fun contest.
Yeah, we have had a wonderful time.
We keep pulling out the list of confessions and we keep rereading them and then laughing about the same ones over and over again. And sometimes different ones. So it's a continual source of entertainment.
There are subtleties about some of the confessions that are even funnier the second time or fifth time or fourth time through. Choosing winners was not easy, believe me.
I have a bag full of prizes to give away, so we haven't exactly identified who's getting which prize, but the prizes are either Malabrigo yarn, Manos del Uruguay yarn, or yarn from 100 Pure Wool. And then I think we're going to, for our major prize winners, we're going to throw in some extra prezzies into their prize.
Well, luckily you're not in Colombia yet, so we know what it won't be.
Well, it wouldn't have been drugs anyways, Melanie.
I was talking about a passion fruit banana.
Banana passion fruit.
I wasn't talking about crack. Anyway.
All right, let's announce the winners. For the confession, last week I wore a J. Crew sweater to a little get-together, and when everyone assumed I had knit it myself, I didn't correct them. Thank you, SarahJean77. You are one of our winners.
Congratulations.
For the confession, I have an unbridled love of spandex. I still think stretch pants with an oversized sweater is cute. I may only be going to the gym and exercising so that I have an excuse to wear spandex. It makes me feel like a superhero. And so the prize to the villain, the enabler, Cute Knitter, thank you so much for your confession.
Even though she is our rival.
Cute Knitter is Jasmine from the Knit More Girls podcast, and
she's not a frenemy. She's more of a rival because we like her. So she's like a friend and a rival. She's not like a friend you're all passive aggressive to and you really hate because we like her.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, no, we actually do really like her. I confess something on Jasmine's board.
What did you confess?
I can't help it. I always start with the I confess. No, it was confessing about fantasizing about having a knitter's project runway and how I think it would make for a pretty slow-moving show. Here we have another confession. This person says, I confess that I don't clean my house if I know that my brother is coming to visit because I know he will pick up for me. A prize to Shamrock from Kalamazoo. Thank you for your confession.
And we really hope that our brother will come and visit us and pick up for us. Come on, Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, come on. Come over and clean house for me.
The confession reads, I made a New Year's resolution to exercise before knitting, so I made myself go to the gym on January 2nd, and then I sat in the parking lot and knitted in the car for an hour, then went into the gym for 30 minutes.
That sounds like something I would do.
It probably is something you've done, and that is from Julie Q, or Julie Que, if she's French.
Que meaning tail in French?
It's spelled Q-U-E, yeah.
Good gracious. Thanks, Julie Q. And we have two grand prize winners. Each of these people have submitted more than one confession that made it in our we think that these people should win. And so we figured that if the same person was able to make two or three or four winning confessions, then they should get a special prize. So we have two of those people. One of our grand prize winners confessed the following. When I work out, I pretend to be concentrating on the TVs at the gym or on reading an article for class. But I mostly just fantasize about eating mayonnaise.
I have to admit, I can just picture her scooping mayonnaise with a spoon, and that actually makes me want to be a little ill.
But I just love the idea of fantasizing about mayonnaise while at the gym. I think it's hilarious. So the winner, that grand prize winner, is Library Paste from Illinois. And Library Paste has confessed a variety of other things that we love. So
I'm going to read a few more of the things that she's confessed so that you can enjoy them as well. She has written, "I refuse to get to know my neighbors because I'm almost positive they can hear me singing in the shower. And sometimes when I have a lot of dirty dishes, I just throw some of them away, especially the Tupperware." And all of these, I think, are worthy of winning. I have from her, "I got some awesome new deodorant over the weekend and spent half the day trying to sniff my armpits in such a way as to not arouse suspicion from my coworkers. But I almost don't care if I get caught because it smells so good." And our last grand prize goes to Bowerbird, whose real name is Rebecca. So she's made a couple longer confessions, and they are hilarious. So here we go with one of them. She writes, "I enjoy spying on what other people in the checkout line at the grocery store are buying. I try to imagine what they're going to cook and whether it's just their normal groceries or for a special event. Tonight, for the second time, we were in line with the shopping nuns. I find nuns fascinating, and especially nuns who dress in the full old-fashioned nun outfit. I thought I heard that it's becoming less and less common, so it seems really special to see them. And I think it's especially unusual, not only because of the full nun outfit, but because they're so young, maybe 30 at most, which goes against what I've heard about the nun population aging. Also, I would have no idea that there are nuns living anywhere near me. I've only ever seen them at the grocery store. The last time I saw them, I, of course, spied on their carts, because I find the average nondescript person's groceries fascinating. You bet I find a nun's groceries fascinating. I remember that they had a particularly large amount of kitty litter, which I guess isn't that surprising. This time I paid even closer attention. They had a lot of lettuce, Ritz crackers. They buy the same brand of corn chips as we do, but my favorite thing, by far, was the 2 cans of whipped cream. I'm sure this says more about me than it does about them, but there is absolutely nothing wholesome or nun-like about whipped cream from a can. Whipped cream from a can is inherently naughty. My fiancé pointed out that they were also buying Foxy brand lettuce. Foxy nuns, oh my. So I confess that I am nosy. And especially so about nuns." And then Bowerbird followed up the first confession with the following. "Last week, the people behind us in line were buying nothing but 3 delicious-looking cakes. I almost asked if I could go home with them." So, Bowerbird, thank you so much for that confession. Melanie has another one that's her favorite. So, Mel, why don't you read that?
I was just putting in another confession on the confessions board while you talked.
What were you confessing while I was talking?
Never.
What were you confessing?
Never mind. I just felt the need.
Okay, I'll go look at it right away.
No, it's a confession. It's not for you to look at. It's for the world to look at.
What happens on the confessions board stays on the confessions board?
Exactly.
Apparently not, because we're reading them.
Well, people have fair warning.
And it's on the internet. Okay,
what happens on the internet always stays on the internet. Hello.
Hello.
So my favorite post from Bowerbird reads, "I have names and stories for all the neighborhood dogs I see on a regular basis, which makes me feel like I have these close personal bonds with the dogs, when in reality I don't know them except in passing." I just have to make an aside here. I love the fact that you know a dog in passing. That's just, you know, you just wag your tail at him when you go by.
Yeah, that's right. You each give a curt nod as you pass.
Exactly. And inquire about the weather. And the kibble.
And the kibble.
Something smells burning. I'm going to finish reading it and check out the toaster.
Why don't you check on the toaster first?
Oh, I confess, I don't care if the house is on fire. I'm renting.
Melanie, you also had a New Year's resolution not to set yourself on fire. Talk about continuity from one episode to the next. I'm pretty impressed with that.
Okay, no fire. I'll start again. "I have names and stories for all the neighborhood dogs I see on a regular basis, which makes me feel like I have these close personal bonds with the dogs, when in reality I don't really know them, except for in passing. One day I'm going to slip and tell Nectarine Dog's owner that I love his little rainy weather wetsuit. It is the most awesome thing ever, and she'll have no idea why I'm calling her lovely golden retriever Nectarine Dog. And eventually, Aloof Dog's owners are going to catch me greeting him on my walk home from work, and may be insulted by my silly name for him. And then there are the pair of wiener dogs. Regular wiener dog, who is interested in zucchinis."
How? I just wonder where she's determined
and how she's figured out that he's interested in zucchinis.
Probably in passing.
In passing. How's the weather? How's the gimbal? And the zucchinis, how are they treating you?
Exactly.
I have a particular interest of zucchinis.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
And a long-haired curly wiener dog who only ever barks at me from the doggy door. There was also a neighborhood cat whom I imagine suns herself on our front stoop every afternoon, because after it snows, we can see her footprints leading up to our door. I feel a close connection with that little sweetums, too, even though I don't know which cat it is. But our house is blessed by feline sunning and lazing, too, and I highly approve. I'm convinced that one day I'll come home early enough to meet her, and it will be like old friends meeting again, but with lots of purring.
I love that confession.
Me too, so congratulations all our winners.
And stay tuned for new contests coming up.
Soft and woolly, it comes from far away. I love my Malabrigo, it's best wherever I go. To show you that I love you, I'll get down on one knee and give you Malabrigo. Who needs a ring when it's so fuzzy like a gerbil? Say you knit with Malabrigo. Make knitting spicy. It's like adding chervil to your hat or to a glove or to my Hinos. I definitely deserve some Malabrigo. Or at least a sunflower seed or two. Or five.
So, Deborah, it has been almost a week since we recorded the first section of this podcast. And what have you been up to?
Can I talk about knitting?
If that's what you've been up to.
Yeah, that's what I'm up to. I decided I wanted to teach myself how to do stranded or Fair Isle knitting. So, and I wanted to use a variety of different yarns. I had some Malabrigo I wanted to use. I had some Manocel Uruga I wanted to use. And so I decided I'd put it all together and try to make myself something stranded. And I've knit probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches. It's taken me quite a while because I actually had to teach myself how to hold the yarn in one in each hand and that kind of thing. And I'm figuring that my color combinations don't look very good. So I think I'm just going to end up ripping it out. It's a little disappointing to look at the colors and to say, ah, darn it. I have a really hard time, Mel, getting, like, matching patterns with colors with yarns. Because I so often start projects and realize that, oh, this yarn doesn't look good in this pattern, or this yarn doesn't match that yarn, or whatever. But that's one of my own faults, I suppose.
Well, I have some advice for that, and my advice would be just don't even try.
Just stop knitting, Deborah.
Just stop knitting, or don't even start in the first place. Just don't try. It's like, if you don't succeed, just give up.
So I'm trying to remember what else I've knit this week. Oh, I knitted another star-crossed slouchy beret, this time for my grandmother, and I made up a cowl pattern with the same cable pattern on it. And I will have it sent out to her just in time for the spring in Canada, so that will be totally useless. I don't know what other knitting things I've been playing a lot. Trying stitch patterns, doing a little bit of designing, just starting some design projects that I don't know if they'll ever come to fruition, but swatching for that. And I've accomplished very little over the last 2 weeks or so in terms of what I'm actually completing. What can I say? Like, in the last week and a half, I've taught myself how to do stranded knitting. The combination half English style, half continental style, where you hold one color in your right hand. I want to call it the normal way, but it's only normal for those of us who normally knit English style. And then you hold the other one the way you would hold continental style yarn, and then you switch between one stitch with one, and then the other stitch with the next, etc. So it was one of my goals, my New Year's resolutions, to knit something Fair Isle or knit something stranded. So this learning how to do it is a step towards my New Year's resolution. Maybe by the end of the next couple weeks, I'll be able to make some advances on
the shawl pattern I've been working on. Who knows? I'm not looking to make a career out of designing patterns. I think there are people out there who are far more talented at that than I am. It's taking the process and learning different portions of the process, and part of it is learning for the sake of learning, and part of it is learning to find what makes me excited, making things that are on my own, and that's why I like to knit, and then that's why I learned to spin, is because I wanted to become more self-sufficient in the process, and that's why I'm cleaning the llama fleece, and that's why I'm looking to design a couple things, because I kind of like the idea of being able to be
independent. Well, and I mean, it is, like you said you didn't want to make a career out of it, but you know what? It is about time you start thinking about a career.
It is about time that I think about having a job, yeah.
You can't just sit around in Argentina knitting forever, so you do need
a
career.
That's true. You know, a lot of people have asked me, both privately and in the public boards, what my job is. And I think that it would be a good thing if I addressed that. I work for a Canadian organization. I had to actually get permission from my employer before I started the podcast. And part of getting permission, I had indicated that I wasn't going to publicly announce what my job was, partly to respect the organization and the work I do for them. And in order to not appear that the opinions that I give on the podcast are reflective of the opinions of my employer, that they're my own personal opinions. And if I don't indicate who my employer is, then nothing can be mistaken as something other than my own personal opinion. So I'm not going to announce exactly what it is that I do or who exactly that I work for. I can talk about the style of my job in terms of the moving around and stuff. I have a job where it's a permanent position. I get transferred from one overseas location to another overseas location to back to Canada, depending on the organization's needs and depending on my personal desires. Up until now, I've basically focused most of my work overseas, and I've gone 2-3 years in each location. I think I've mentioned it other times, but I lived for 2 years in Trinidad, in the country Trinidad and Tobago, and I did a lot of traveling around the Caribbean at that time. And then I spent 2 years in South Africa. And no, I cannot approximate the accent very well. So I spent 3 years. Did I say 2 years? It was three. 3 years in South Africa. And then I did quite a bit of traveling around Southern Africa at the time. And now I'm in Argentina and spending a lot of time drooling after the wool in Uruguay. And I only really became a serious knitter in the last 2 years. I knew how to knit. I've known how to knit for a long time, but I only sort of became a knitter with a capital... a knitter with a capital N. No, a knitter with a capital K. in the last two years. So I've been to other locations. Like, I kind of regret now that I wasn't a knitter when I was in South Africa, because I understand now that they produce some lovely mohairs. And then my next assignment is going to be in Bogota, Colombia. I'll be there for probably 2-3 years, and then after that I think I'll go back to Canada for a little while, but don't quote me on it, because you never know when the adventure of living somewhere new will attract me somewhere new instead of back to Canada. So this is one banter section where I've actually done a lot of talking. How long have I talked for?
You totally pirated my banter. I had news I wanted to tell you. You always take over
the entire banter section. Everyone who thinks Melanie does a lot of talking during our banter sections, put up your hand. See you, Melanie, see all the hands up? It was my turn to talk.
You're right.
Once again, I'm worried that with all of our singing on this podcast, that Deborah will get very mad. And when Melanie goes to see her next week, she will try to bite her. But we couldn't help expressing our love for Malabarigo. While Melanie and Deborah were talking about other boring knitting things, Felix, Bevy, and I recorded our own Malabrigo song. Maybe it will be so good that we will win all the Malabrigo in the world. I hate winning! Bevy, remember? We want to win. Oh yes, I forgot! It's time for our special Malabrigo song. Feel free to tap your foot, chew a toilet paper roll, and sing along.
Different people have different things they like to do. People like to knit, and gerbils like to chew. Malabrigo. It's Malabrigo that we love so much. Malabrigo. To smell and to bite and to touch.
I have a Malabrigo story to tell you. The other day, I saw a big, round ball of glazed carrot Malabrigo worsted wool. And I thought it looked exactly like a delicious, crunchy carrot. Well, you know how gerbils love carrots, so I ate it right up. And it didn't taste exactly like a carrot. It wasn't crunchy, and little bits of wool got stuck between my teeth. But the wool was so soft, and the color was so nice, that if I saw more glazed carrot Malabrigo, I would eat it right up. Yum, 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 yum.
Cabernet and moss, there is chestnut and praline. Don't forget vermilion and sunset in between. If you go to sniff them, they smell like sun and wool. If you go to eat them, your belly will be full of Malabrigo. It's Malabrigo that we love so much. Oh, Malabrigo. To smell and to bite and to touch.
Bevy, Bevy, you're singing out of tune.
I'm sorry, Perchick. I'm just so excited about Malabrigo that I forgot how to sing.
That's okay, Bevy. Malabrigo makes me pretty excited, too.
You could knit a gerbil scarf, or you could knit a hat. Or if I have worsted, I'd make dinner out of that. Malabrigo is the best wool that I can see. Next time that I shed, can you spin some mal from me? Some Malabrigo. It's Malabrigo that we love so much. Oh, Malabrigo. To smell and to bite and to touch.
Come on, everybody. Join in and show your love for Malabrigo.
Malabrigo. It's Malabrigo that we love so much. Oh, Malabrigo. To smell and to bite and to touch.
And this brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Savvy Girls podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're a regular listener, we appreciate your loyalty, and we appreciate that you come back each episode to enjoy the Savvy Girls silliness with us. If you're a new listener, welcome, and we hope to see you again. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we look forward to having you come back in the future. If you'd like to reach us, you can contact us at podcast@savvygirls.ca. You can find us on Ravelry. I'm Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie is Savvy Girl Melanie. Of course, you can see our show notes and subscribe via an RSS feed through our website at www.savvygirls.ca.
I can tell you in upcoming episodes, we are traveling to Chile, and so we will definitely record some interviews, and we will be recording about our experience there. And also, I have an episode coming up where I talk in depth about the yarn company Manos del Uruguay. They were kind enough to receive me at their offices in Montevideo and to take me on a trip 5 hours north into the countryside of Uruguay to visit one of their collectives. It was a wonderful experience, and I can't wait to share it with you. So until next time, tend to your knitting, kittens.
To touch.